Your scripture lesson is, as usual, in the insert, but I just want to point out a couple of things in the insert as well. Then there are also the words to give thanks with a grateful heart, which we're going to sing right after the sermon, going into the Lord's Supper, and then the litany of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. So just want to make sure you're aware of that so you can participate. Our scripture lesson for this morning is from the 17th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Reading verses 11 through 19. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean, but the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. And Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight. And Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Several weeks ago, I took a couple of friends of mine to the Wake Forest football game, and we were tailgating before that. And it was Steve and Joan, their married couple, and they were talking about leaving their church. They had been members for a long time at a PCA, Presbyterian Church in America, church in Winston-Salem called Redeemer Pres. And they had joined a non-denominational church that was growing very rapidly. And one of the things that they were having to work through was that the new church was much more restrictive in communion than the church they had left, and spent quite a bit of time on days they had communion warning people not to take it unworthily and to examine themselves. And so they asked me, you know, even though I'm their friend, they also remember that I'm a pastor. And they asked me, "So what is your position on that? What do you do?" And I said, "You know, I'm actually kind of going the other way. I'm instead of being more restrictive, I'm wanting it sort of to be more open." And I talked to them, and you probably know this too, that back in the day, and I mean, I'm talking about it back in the 1800s, Presbyterian circuit riding preachers with horses go to these, they would go and their different churches, when they were going to have communion on a Sunday, they would go visit every home that belonged to the church and sit down with them and go over their life with them and their lifestyle. And then if the preacher deemed them worthy to take communion, he would give them this token. It's called a communion token. It looks like a little brass button. And if you go to Montreat, there's the Historical Foundation has cases of these communion tokens from the 1800s. But that's how restrictive that was. Like, if you weren't good, you couldn't take communion. Now, we have communion today. And I think this passage in Luke with Jesus sheds some light on all these questions that Joan and Steve were dealing with about who is communion for and who is it open to. And so I want us especially to kind of look at how Jesus offered himself to folks. And to get us started, there's a wonderful book that I've been reading. I started out with the paper book, and then I liked it so much I got the audio book that I could listen to while I was walking. It's called Searching for Sunday, and it's by Rachel Held Evans. I recommend it to you. And she has a great quote on communion, but it's a page long. And so what I'm going to do today is break it up into three sections, 1, 2, and 3, and that way you can hear it. If I read the whole page, you wouldn't hear it. I wouldn't hear it. So I'm going to start with just the first paragraph, and then that'll kind of kick us off for the rest of this. So she starts out by saying, I don't know exactly how Jesus is present in the bread and the wine, but I believe Jesus is present. So it seems counterintuitive to tell people they have to wait and meet him someplace else before they meet him at the table. If people are hungry, let them come and eat. If they are thirsty, let them come and drink. It's not my table anyway. It's not my denomination's table or my church's table. It's Christ's table. Christ sends out the invitations. And if he has to run through the streets gathering up all the riffraff to fill up his house, then that's exactly what he'll do. Who am I to try and block the door? So let's look at how Jesus offered himself to people in this passage. First, he's going to Jerusalem, and he passes through. It's interesting what they say, that he's, verse 11, on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. So this is a border region. And like the U.S.-Mexico border, it has its own kind of culture, its own kind of populace, and it's a place where a lot of marginalized people are and remain. And there are people who are outcasts, there are people who are disenfranchised. And so entering the villages, these 10 lepers see Jesus and call him by name, which doesn't happen very often outside of the disciples, and say, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, the thing about leprosy that we have to keep in mind here is that back in this day, people were not really specific about diagnosing things. You know, it was pretty crude medicine. So there is leprosy, but there is also eczema, psoriasis. There's all kind of skin rashes, and they grouped all of that into leprosy. So if you had any of that stuff, you were considered unclean. You were not able to have a normal social life. You're not able to go to the temple. You're not able to practice your faith. And you had to stay in a leper colony or with other lepers. And you might have gotten a different kind of skin disease from the other guy who really did have leprosy. And so it was a bad situation. And they were absolutely marginalized people. And so when they cried out, have mercy on us, this is an opportunity to see what Jesus is for, who Jesus is for, who his grace extends to. And Jesus shows us who his grace extends to marginalized people. He responded when they said, have mercy. What did he do? He had mercy. That's what Jesus did. And it's really interesting if you watch it. It just says, they say, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said, go and show yourselves to the priests. The priests had to certify they were clean. That's how they got admitted back into the synagogue. And here's the phrase that just knocks me out. As they went, they were made clean. Do you see that? It's not that all of a sudden they were made clean. But as they responded in obedience to Jesus, the healing happened. If they had stayed there and just said, did you do it? It wouldn't have happened. But as they went, as they acted, because you imagine that would be kind of hard to be cast off from the synagogue all this time and then to take the step towards the priest and risk being rejected again. You know, but as they acted on that in obedience to Jesus, they were healed. And whatever your equivalency is of that in your life, just remember that it's a process to be healed. It's something that as you are obedient, you are healed as a process. So that's the first thing, that as they went, they were made clean. And sometimes we have to obey God first before our healing happens. The act of obeying Jesus, walking towards the priest, confirmed their faith in Jesus. And if they had not started walking, acting in their faith, their cleansing might not have happened. Now, one of them turns around and returns to thank Jesus, the Samaritan. And I know you know what a Samaritan is, but you don't know who's listening, right? So I'll brief you a little bit on Samaritans. Excuse me. That when the Babylonians invaded Israel, they carried off most of the population, but some of the Israelites stayed and the Babylonians and intermarried with the Babylonians, so that when the people who went to Babylon came back, they were considered not pure blood Jews anymore, as Harry Potter would say, mudbloods. And so that's what the Samaritans were, and they were outcasts and they were looked down on by pure Jews. Okay, so that's the Samaritans. And Jesus is very specific about including Samaritans. And the Gospel of Luke, by the way, if y'all want to come to the Bible study on the Gospel of Luke, we're just getting started. We're in the third chapter. But one of the things Luke does is he emphasizes Jesus' openness to foreigners, to Samaritans. You know, the parable of the Good Samaritan, where is that found? Gospel of Luke, you know. And so here we are in Luke again, and it's the Samaritan. And so that's part of what is going on here, is Luke is saying the grace and the mercy of Jesus is for everybody, not just the Jews. And so one of them, this is verse 15, one of them, when they saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. Isn't that interesting that, you know, his healing caused him to praise God? And Jesus is right in front of him. And he praises God for what Jesus did. And then he fell at Jesus' feet. And it's that kind of gratitude is exceptional. I don't know if I've ever been that grateful personally for him. I mean, to fall at someone's feet and thank them. But when it's someone who is forgiven much, loves much, you know, and someone who his life has been changed much is thankful much. And so this guy was absolutely thankful to Jesus, and he fell at his feet. Now, this is not a parable, okay? This is not a parable that Jesus is telling. This is happening. Jesus did this, and this happened, and was a Samaritan. And it says, and he was a Samaritan. And then 17, Jesus asks, were not 10 made clean, but the other 9, where are they? Presumably, they're Jews. And so this guy was kind of doubly marginalized. He was marginalized as a leper, and he was marginalized as a Samaritan also. Were not 10 made clean, but the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? He calls him a foreigner. And it's Jesus who's traveling through his land, but he's except this foreigner. And Jesus tells him that his gratitude is evidence of his faith, and that his faith has made him well. It says, he said to him, get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. So he doesn't even need to go, you know, to the priest. And he may, you know, being a Samaritan, he probably wouldn't have, because he's not a Jew. But he says, your faith has made you well. And I've said this many times in the Bible study, I think here in the pulpit, that the word here for healing, for made you well, is the word sozo in Greek. And sozo is S-O-Z-O. Sozo, anytime you see the word saved, it's sozo. That, you know, get saved, you ought to be saved, you know, your faith saved you, whatever. But it's also for heal. That heal, the word sozo means healing and it means saving. They kind of blend those two meanings. And so you'll see some translation here that says your faith has saved you. And this says your faith has healed you, or your faith has made you well. But it's the same word. And I love that big understanding of salvation. That is, it's a word of healing and saving. You know, and that's what Jesus is saying to him. That your word, that your faith has saved you. And so Jesus has offered his mercy. And we're paying attention to what Jesus offers, how Jesus offers himself. He offers himself to this doubly marginalized man. He's marginalized as a leper. He's marginalized as a foreigner. And so how do we imitate Jesus if we're trying to be the imitators of Christ? How do we imitate Jesus? Okay, now I'm going to do my second paragraph from Searching for Sunday by Rachel Hill Evans. She says, long enshrined traditions around communion aside, there are always folks who fancy themselves bouncers of the heavenly banquet, charged with keeping the wrong people away from the table and out of the church. Evangelicalism in particular has seen a resurgence in border patrol Christianity in recent years. People who declare anyone who fails to conform to their strict set of beliefs and behaviors are unfit for Christian fellowship. Committed to purifying the church of every errant thought, difference of opinion, variation in practice, these self-appointed gatekeepers tie up heavy loads of legalistic rules and place them on weary people's shoulders. They strain out the gnats in everyone else's theology while swallowing their own camel-sized inconsistencies. They slam the door of the kingdom in people's faces and tell them to come back when they are sober, back on their feet, Republican, reformed, doubtless, submissive, straight. So as we approach the table, we have these two things of mercy and gratitude, both. Mercy and gratitude. We ask Jesus for mercy, just like those lepers did. We ask Jesus for mercies, for forgiveness, for our healing, for the strength to change ourselves, whatever that, however that applies to you. So we ask Jesus for mercy. We also offer Jesus our thanks. That part of the word Eucharist, when you hear about this is called in the Episcopal Church the Eucharist. The Eucharist is just a word in Greek that means to give thanks. That's what Eucharist means. This is the table of giving thanks. And that's why I wanted to do that, give thanks with a grateful heart as we approach the table. Because it's a song that talks about approaching the table as people who are weak and through Christ have been made strong. People who are poor, but through Christ have been made rich. It's talking about people who are marginalized, that Jesus has restored them just like he's restored the disciples here. As we welcome our table, we welcome into our church, we welcome in our fellowship, we welcome the marginalized. And who are those now? Who are those people that we welcome to the church and into our fellowship and to this table? We welcome lepers like Jesus did. We welcome foreigners like Jesus did. We welcome lesbian, gay, bisexual, transsexual, queer people. We welcome the formerly incarcerated people. We welcome immigrants. Anybody that's at the fringe of society that has not been welcomed before, we welcome them. That's why it's so important for them to be part of the church. It's not just for powerful people. And Jesus, we do that because we're following the example of Jesus as he welcomes and heals marginalized people and gives them a new life. I'm gonna finish with the third Rachel Hill Evans part of this, and this is the famous one. I've never seen this one before. She says, the gospel doesn't need a coalition devoted to keeping the wrong people out. It needs a family of sinners saved by grace, committed to tearing down the walls, throwing open the doors, and shouting, welcome. There's bread and wine. Come eat with us and talk. This isn't a kingdom of the worthy. It's a kingdom for the hungry. Let's pray together. Lord, many times we feel marginalized too. We feel that we can't be ourselves. We can't present ourselves to the way we really are to others. Help us to reach out and take hold of your mercy and grace, your healing. Give us the faith to start walking as we are healed. And give us the gratitude to fall at your feet and say, thank you, thank you, thank you. Give us mercy and grace that we could welcome the marginalized that we encounter here in our community and around the world. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.